G'day, mate. How you going? Do not adjust your radios. Do not adjust your television sets. It is time to head down the rabbit hole of the mulletverse. The only thing that matters here is that this house is completely secure.
Sure, be right, sir. We'll make sure nothing happens to this here house. I mean, we've got an amazing security guard right here in the name of John Peter McAllister.
You mean the old guy that's like a statue outside, looking like some 100-year-old ninja?
Yes, but sir, he's got lots of training in that esoteric martial arts. I'm sure he's very good at what he does.
You've heard the rumor. He's got a student, Okasa, that keeps coming after all those that he's trying to protect.
I'm sure he'll be all right, sir. Oh, I hear something.
I bet you it's a ninja.
All right, lights, camera. Action. Now, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper? Again.
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Oh, g'day, mate. How you going?
G'day, mate. How you going? This is Adam here, Lethal Mullet here, of course, on the one and only Quinlan's Cantina's own Lethal Mullet podcast, of course, on the Lethal Mullet Network. And we're back, folks. I've been off a little bit ill, unfortunately, for the last week, and we're back with a vengeance with one of the most popular TV shows from the mid-80s, and it featured ninja, folks. That's right. We're going to be talking about the beloved The Master, starring, of course, Lee Van Cleef. Yes, the legendary actor, of course, who worked on many a Western, many a spaghetti Western as well, but also, of course, Shokasugi as his long-lost student, Okasa, and, of course, Timothy Van Patten, who does an amazing job in this as the Master's apprentice. This is a great show. It was very much of that 18-style ilk of the time. You know, it was fun, but it was also real, you know, I think, good chance for ninjutsu to really become popular outside of the films. Things like Canon were doing, of course, at the time. Enter the Ninja, we also had past that, of course. Revenge of the Ninja, and as we've covered before, Ninja 3, The Domination. Another great film, of course. Stay tuned, folks. That's the next one we're covering here on the show. And there really is just an amazing abundance of stuff that came out around the same time as the show. And Lee Van Cleef really takes this one in the lead. It's a fun show. It certainly is one to rewatch and enjoy. It's campy as hell, but it's also fun. I mean, it's the biggest thing I remember of it being, you know, and it really is of that, you know, men on a mission going out trying to help people, very much along the lines of the A-Team, Magnum PI, and of course all those other, all the other shows in the 1980s. And we're going to be chatting about The Master here tonight on the one, the only, Lethal Mullet Podcast. G'day, mate. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You can also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis. And where you can also find the Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favorite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema. We'll be right back. And now it's time for the news here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast. All right, folks, here we go with the news. And the news is I've got a film review for you. And it's, of course, Jeff Wincott's new film. This is one called The Issue with Elvis. It's one that's a real family affair because it's starring his son Wolfgang. And it's also directed by his wife and written by his wife, Charlotte Wincott. And, of course, they've all produced it together. And this film is a real... It's a slow burn, but it's a beautiful film, really well crafted. And it certainly is a story that's a father-son story, and one of choice, one of science, one of belief. So here goes. Here's the same film review you can find on the Facebook page. Of course, that is at The Lethal Mullet if you want to check it out. So I've just had the pleasure of watching a beautifully crafted film starring martial arts action star Jeff Wincott, which is a touching story of fathers, sons, belief, science, and responsibility. Jeff Wincott stars as Dr. Mercer, a man of science living out in the woods in a cabin that is amazingly picturesque. And the woods itself is a fantastic location. He comes across a young boy by the name of Elvis, and this is played by, of course, Jeff's son. Elvis has been out in the woods by himself living in a rundown bus. Mercer takes Elvis under his wing until he can find out where his parents are. What follows is a touching story of a man who had given up hope, but then finds it and belief while helping a person in need. Written and directed by Charlotte Wincott, this film was put together beautifully. Cinematography was amazing and the locations were really spot on throughout the film. What caught me by surprise was just how emotional the film is, but with a real heart which drives throughout the picture. I've always enjoyed seeing stories of hope and belief, especially when science is amongst it. There are many forms of it, and this film has a sense of it. It deals with the issues of abandonment, but also through hope, through friendship, of a better and brighter future. I also like the choice of books mentioned in the film, especially a certain fantasy one. That is, of course, The Hobbit. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope you will too. I gave it 5 stars. Of course, it is not an action film, folks, but it certainly is one about character, and it's a real one about heart. And one of the big things in my life I've always had is, you know, I'm somebody that was, you know, from I wouldn't call it a heavy religious upbringing, but we certainly were religious. And then that met with, of course, as you go through high school, science and stuff like that. And I think there's belief on both sides. And in this story, there's a central of that, but also through hope in both, that you can actually center yourself and your body, your soul. And there's something about that in this film. But a lot of it is also, you know, people helping each other out too. In this case of a real father-son story. And one that, you know, it's not the actual father of the child Elvis in this, but he accepts that responsibility, and it's an amazing story. And it really, it'll actually make you laugh too. There's some really fun parts of it too, as well as some real heartstrings being pulled here and there too. It's fantastic. And Jeff, as usual, and of course his wife and his son, done a fantastic job. So go and check it out. It is streaming in Australia on Apple TV. It's the easiest place to find it. I do believe it was on Amazon Prime as well. You can find it there, but definitely on, of course, Apple TV. Who could that be at this hour? Come on, who is it?
Hi, this is Tom Caldwell from Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network, inviting you to check out our show. Once a month, we release an episode about the films of the great master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. You can find us on Facebook at Hitchcock Good Evening, on Twitter at Good Evening Pod, and along with myself and Brandon Shane Mutala and Chris Haig, we bring you a fun and friendly show that you can enjoy alongside your viewing of the films of Alfred Hitchcock. On behalf of the program, I wish you good evening.
Hey, mate, how you going? Come on in, mate. Yeah, yeah. What shall it be?
Oh, yeah, man, it's been real busy, D, you know?
Right, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like I was telling my mate the other day, have a nice, cold beverage and enjoy chatting about films and all that sort of stuff.
Well, here you go, mate. Here, enjoy this beverage and enjoy this film chat. 1984 was very, very much in the vogue of ninja. That's right. Everything was happening when it came to ninja. In 1980, we had, of course, Enter the Ninja. And of course, followed up with Revenge of the Ninja. And of course, we had only around the corner from that, Ninja 3 The Domination. That's right. All three starring, of course, Shokasugi, who is in this series. And of course, you're going to do a series, you've got to have Shokasugi involved, don't you, folks? That's right. So we're going to be talking heavily about that tonight. But of course, the one thing we're going to be talking about, of course, is 1984's The Master, which was created by Michael Sloan. A series out here in Australia that was only on air for a very short time. It was only on for about a month or two before it was taken off air. But you could definitely find it and many other things in, of course, the one, the only VHS release that came afterwards, of course. And very hard to find on the shelves because it was always being taken out and rented by many a martial arts and action movie fan at the time. And I loved it because it was, I think, just the pilot and one other episode at the time. And we got a sense of just who John Peter McAllister was. Of course, who Max Keller was. And, of course, Okasa, who was hot on the trail. But really, in almost every scene when it came to the action, the minute that Lee Van Cleef had to step out, Shokasugi would step in, of course, and show us those amazing ninja moves that he did so well. It's a great series. I do remember it quite fondly. And you got to remember, this is in the heyday when no one knew about ninjutsu at the time. It was so new. This is pre-Turtle, folks. This is pre-Ninja Turtles. This is at the height of when people were going to Japan. People like the famous martial artists like Stephen K. Hayes, who's still teaching his own brand of ninjutsu to this day. He's in the States. And, of course, a lot of it being Bujinkan-based, of course. From there, of course, it stepped out into some much bigger films and, of course, much bigger franchises. And you heard the word ninja everywhere. We saw cartoons and certainly was a household name by that stage. We've gone through many different things that the mainstream media have always propped up. You know, in the 60s it was karate, in the 70s kung fu was a lot about in the movies and stuff like that. Ninja craze was definitely the 1980s, as it's pretty much Brazilian jiu-jitsu and of course MMA to this day in the mainstream. What's interesting though is the mysticism and of course the mystery of what the ninja are. Definitely something that's about in this series, and of course, just at the time, not a lot of people knew about the realities of ninjutsu and what it actually meant to be ninja. And to this day, probably a lot of people still don't know what that meant. Of course, we've talked about the realities of what they really are, and what really was in the time of feudal Japan. Okay, the shinobi no mono, whatever you want to call it back in the day, of course, was pretty much the special forces of the samurai era. Samurai is a class. You know, it's a class of that feudal era. It wasn't just the knights as such. Of course, there was many different, there was dignitaries, there were politicians that were samurai. There were people that were obviously, you know, working inside the Lord's castle that were samurai as well, more an official office type job. Right down to, of course, what we've got here in the military sense, or the gunpo, which is, of course, the, you know, those that were basically not assassins as such. I'm sure there was part of it, but a lot of them were literally information gatherers. People going into the enemy's camp and finding out all the details they possibly can, and then come back and telling, of course, their own side how and where to strike and attack and all that sort of stuff. Subterfuge, and of course, one of the biggest things is that is, you know, really doing what needs to be done. As somebody who's actually studied in Bujinkan martial arts and, of course, many other styles, it's interesting to see both the fable or the what we see from, you know, the stories like this and get a sense of what really is, you know, ninjutsu as well. And both are just amazing as each other when it comes to story. The Master is part of that. It's also a great master and apprentice story, which we're really going to get into, particularly from you know, episode-to-episode basis. It really pushes it, and Lee Van Cleef and, of course, Timothy Van Patten do an amazing job and really have got a great charisma in this, and something I really enjoyed was just seeing the two of them play off each other when it came to, you know, the one-liners and the action and stuff like that. There's quite a bit you can definitely see of Lee Van Cleef doing in the action as well, because he's got to be in the camera there, as well as, obviously, to the stunt people and, of course, the one, the only Shokasugi in this as well is Akasa.
Shokosugi, obviously, been working with Canon Pictures and worked all his way up through there. Got a bit disillusioned with Ninja 3 The Domination, where he didn't get a lead role like he had in, of course, Revenge of the Ninja, which was kind of weird. Got to say, I still like Lucinda Dickey in that film because it's something a bit different. And they were certainly trying to do something different at the time, but it doesn't mean that it worked as well as what could have been a sequel to Revenge of the Ninja. So what do you do? Well, of course, you go into TV shows, and then after that, there's also the big thing of moving into, other ninja films of his own. You got, of course, The Amazing Pray for Death, which we've covered on here before, and there's more to come. Black Eagle, of course, we've covered, and of course, we've covered his work as a samurai going to, of course, Europe, and that was amazing. It's kind of course, I think the time... His best, most different from the ninja films that he'd done. Shokosugi is a very talented man and amazing when it comes to martial artistry. There's a real sense of action and adventure, but also reality too. It's not the balletic displays that you see of Jean-Claude Van Damme and many other martial artists. This is a real strong, and I think, if anything, I mean, aside from all the acrobatic stuff that you see him do, which is not obviously... just those people. It's obviously a lot of the stunt people involved in these films too. But what I love about it is, you know, the actual stuff is powerful. And it always is, in particular these ones too. So we'll get into that very, very soon. But let's get into who created these amazing TV episodes and more. So we get back to, of course, the start. Created by Michael Sloan. It was written also by Susan Mullen, Michael Sloan, and Tom Sawyer. And of course, directed by a host of amazing directors, Ray Austin. We've got Michael Caffey, Peter Crane, Robert Klaus even did an episode, Sidney Hayes, Gordon Hessler, folks, there you go, Bruce Kessler, and of course, Alan Myerson, which is just great. Now, and there's the theme music was made by Bill Conti, which is great. Now, Bill Conti, obviously very, very famous. He did Rocky, he did Karate Kid, and all the sequels. He did also... Fear Eyes Only, Dynasty, The Right Stuff. Gotta Fly Now was, of course, the big one from Rocky. And, you know, it's one of those great things. He's always been, I think, just amazing when it comes to that sort of stuff. Very catchy, but also very powerful music. The composers on that was, of course, Bill Conti and Les Hooper. And it's great. Now, there's only 13 episodes, but... if you can track down the DVD, folks, get it. It's a lot of fun to rewatch, and you know I'm going to tell you why, folks, because you know it really is real. It's in camera. There's no CGI. What you see is what you get. There's some great car chases, humor, and some great just co-stars in this as well, which we'll get into here very, very soon. It was put out in the US by NBC. Okay, I don't know anything about when it comes to American television, so... I guess the guys from Phantom Podcast Network can tell us all about what the NBC is like. I'm guessing that's a free-to-air channel over there. And, of course, it was released in January 20, all the way through to August 31, 1984. Now, out here in Australia, I do believe we didn't get it proper on VHS till about 1986, because I do remember as a kid seeing it at our version of Blockbuster Video. Yep, we had a Blockbuster Video here, folks. I don't think it was the same company that you knew over the last 20-plus years. It was a different one, but it was certainly one in Underwood in Queensland, Australia at the time, and we definitely had plenty of ninja on the shelves in that one too. So, all right, let's get into the story. The story is about a man by the name of John Peter McAllister. He's an American veteran who basically stayed after World War II in Japan and became a ninja. That's right. He became a ninja master, and that's, of course, the crux of the story. It's a master who wants to pass on his talents, his obviously skills, his schooling to a group of great and amazing martial artists, and of course one of them being Shokosugi, who gets disillusioned because the real story in this is that ninja are assassins and killers, you know, paid highly, you know, basically the Boba Fetts of this world. They're paid top dollar to take out targets. That's basically what they are. Basically, at the start of the series, we see him as an old man, and from here, he leaves Japan, and he's going back to the US, and he's basically looking for a daughter he never met. He doesn't know what she looks like, etc., like that. He has He only knows that basically that this is his daughter, and he wants to rekindle, find out exactly what you know, family life's like, I guess. But of course, this is a dishonorable way to leave the Ninja Order, the Ninja Clan that he's a part of. And the Ninja Clan then puts his top student out after it because they feel betrayed, they feel singled out by their former master. And of course, Okasa is the one that comes over and goes to the US and chases him everywhere. So it's great because we see not only Lee Van Cleef, you know, definitely in his wilderness years, and it's an amazing performance. You can tell he's having fun. He's always been a fun guy to watch, but he's always good when he's menacing as well as like this. I very much see he's like, you know, Jack Palance in his wilderness years as well. The two of them were having so much fun when it came to action films, horror, comedy, all that sort of stuff. But more in this case, you know, science fiction and fantasy for, of course, Lee Van Cleef, and even some westerns when he had them. They're just, you know, they're really bang on the buck, knew what exactly was needed to get the performance out. But as a mentor figure in this, he's great. Kind of like, I suppose for you that are all growing up now, it's a little bit like Liam Neeson is now. It definitely is somebody that can play mentor characters and do it quite well with a sly wit. And that's what we see in this too. It's a great one thing to see. So Okasa tries to kill him as he gets on a plane to head to the United States. And of course, he hits him with a shuriken, which is, of course, a ninja star. And from here, basically starts the big grudge fest that we see between the two of them. And of course, it's the classic stuff that we see in Star Wars, all that sort of stuff. It's, you know, two former, you know, colleagues, or in this case, master and apprentice, one falling out with the other, and they're ready to rock and roll when it comes to regaining honor. It's the classic stuff of drama, folks, isn't it? So receiving only a minor wound from the shuriken, McAllister then finds himself all the way over in the United States in this small town. This very, very 80s small town. That's all I can say to describe it. When you re-watch it, folks, you'll know what I'm talking about in this pilot. And the town of Elliston. And, of course, this is the first of many times he thinks he's found his daughter. It's a running gag on the show, of course. He never finds his daughter. So there you go. There's the spoiler, folks. But that's part of the gag of the movie. And, of course, part of which he is on this adventure, this hero's journey that he's got. As he goes through the town, he finds, of course, a drifter. And this is somebody that really is in need of not only a friend, but also a bit of a mentor. And that is, of course, Max Keller, who's played by, of course, Timothy Van Patten. And he's no pushover, folks. Timothy's really, really good. Guy that obviously is very much the quintessential brat who's trying to stay on the straight and narrow, but for some reason always is getting in bar fights. And the biggest gag in this is that he's always getting thrown out of the pub through the window, through the glass window, and lands outside, which is how, of course, he meets the master himself. And, of course, is part of how he gets saved by a ninja master in a lot of these bar fights. Now, this is, of course, where we see martial artistry take on, of course, the kind of fights you see in Indiana Jones, pretty much. You know, it's that sort of big, huge brawls and stuff like that, pub fights that you usually see in films and TV shows, but mixed in, obviously, with the ninjutsu, or in this case, karate and kung fu, pretty much. Because, you know, that is the foremost thing that, of course, Shokasugi does is, of course, he's a karate champion, folks. No doubt, he's probably done some ninjutsu, but his main forte is karate. He used to teach it in LA when he first came over from Japan, and, of course, did it for many years as he became an actor, and he's obviously very, very good at it. And, of course, very good with his kabuto as well, which is one of the things that we see in this series, which is, of course, the use of many of the array of weapons, not only the ninjutsu weapons, but many others in this, from Okinawa and, of course, more. As we get through this, he gets to meet, of course, an array of co-stars. In this episode, of course, two of those being Claude Akins and, of course, Demi Moore as well. So that's just in the first episode. Obviously, it goes on from there. But what's interesting is that we really get to, in this first episode at least, get a sense of what this show is all about, but also what these two are going to be doing together and why. And it is such a great hero's journey for the both of them. And of course, Akasa is just around the corner. So here's a sense of the opening to each show. And it's something that is said by, of course, Max Keller. He says, John Peter McAllister, the only Occidental American to achieve the martial arts discipline of a ninja. Once part of a secret sect, he wanted to leave, but was marked for death by his fellow ninjas. He's searching for a daughter he didn't know he had, pursued by Okasa, once the master's student, now sworn to kill him. The master found a new student, that's me, Max Keller. But we knew Okasa would be behind us in the shadows, ready to strike again. Of course, that opens every show, folks. So you got that little bit of a prologue, really gives you a sense of where you're heading in this. And that's classic 80s storytelling, folks. They even did it in MacGyver and other shows as well like that. And even Airwolf, I do believe, too. All right, let's get into the cast of characters now, folks. We already talked about, of course, John Peter McAllister. Let's have a look a bit more into him. So he's a World War II veteran and also a Korean War veteran. So he's been around the traps. And, of course, here's the first Occidental ninja, as it says in, of course, the intro. And he trained, of course, Shokosugi's character, Akasa, in the ninja arts. And, of course, in the styles of being a killer. And this is all before, of course, he came and met Max Keller as his new student. It's a classic story, folks, I tell you. It's brilliant. Now, he's basically an old man who's been pretty much without having friends and stuff over the years. He's been left to his own devices. He's very, pretty much a grumpy sort of an old man, but at the same time, he's quite, you know, funny, sarcastic, whatever you want to call it, at the same time as well. He's got a lot of quite funny one-liners in the series as well. But what's also great, there's a real sense of warm and, you know, charm. If anything, particularly to not just you know, when he's looking at his own friends and people that they meet, you know, there's a compassion there that is not what you'd expect from a ninja, you know, which is really, really interesting. Now, in the series, we get to see a number of the things that he used to do. Obviously, he used to be a pilot of a P-40s in World War II, obviously, and we also hear some of the many things he did during, of course, the wars and stuff like that too, in North Korea, etc. Now, what's also interesting too is that we get to hear little bits and pieces of what he's done as a ninja in this too. His biggest phrase in this is, no kidding. Literally said, just like that, no kidding. Now, Timothy Van Patten, who you'll find in a number of movies we're going to be chatting about very, very soon, folks. He's also a director these days too, folks. You'll know him for both TV and film, but he's worked mainly on Perry Mason, Boardwalk Empire, Black Mirror, Deadwood, Ed, Game of Thrones, The Pacific, Rome, Sex and the City, The Sopranos, and The Wire. There you go. How do you like that one, folks? He plays, of course, Max Keller. He's basically a drifter, somebody that's going all over the place, needs definitely guidance. That's the big thing too. He has a pet hamster in this named Henry, which is, again, you know, one of the great things in this series. It's a calling card that also comes back in many other parts of the show. He's got a little hamster cage, all that sort of stuff too. He's got a temper. He certainly has, you know, a charm, a wit, but also he's eager to help. He's a real classic naive hero. In some ways, the callow youth. If there's a Luke Skywalker here, that is the one, folks. So there you go. Shokosugi plays Okasa. Now, what's great about his role, obviously, he's the true ninja in this. You know, he's a cold-blooded killer. That's what he is. But, he, you know, he's the Boba Fett of the show, really is, because he's what a ninja is in the most cinematic sense, which is a mercenary hired to do a job by the highest bidder. So he's sworn to kill his former master, of course, because he's completely abandoned the way of the ninja.
And from this time, he's been trying to kill McAllister a number of times. And of course, he's also a master of disguise, folks. You know, being a ninja, get around and use, you know, many different disguises. He's the Tom Cruise of the Mission Impossible world, in this ninja world, if you like. You know, he's able to do all that sort of stuff without all the CGI and crap that Mission Impossible does, because Shokosugi is freaking awesome, folks. There you go. Of course, you know, he was trained by McAllister, so he knows a lot of the ways too. And of course, from here, yeah, we see many of the different stuff that is done over the ways. Now, Kasugi in this was also Lee Van Cleef's fight double. So, as well as the choreographer, technical advisor through, of course, the ninjutsu we see on screen, and of course, the stunt coordinator. So, how do you like that, folks? Isn't that awesome? So a lot of the episodes, we've got the first episode, Max, which really just opens everything up completely. It's great. Obviously, you got Bill McKinney in that one, Demi Moore. And that was really a good way to set things up. Second episode is called Out of Time Step. And for this one, basically it's a ninja guarded crime lord. Basically completely taken by surprise and mistakes, the two guys for bodyguards of a nightclub. Episode number three starred Crystal Bernard and Cotter Smith. Hostages is episode number four. And this one, you've got David McCallum. And, of course, in this one, George Lazenby, folks. That's right, the Australian James Bond's in that one too. And we have episode five, High Rollers, with Art Hindle guest starring. Fat Tuesday is episode number six. And in that one, we have Robert Pine as a guest star. Juggernaut is episode seven. In that one, you've got Stuart Whitman, William Smith, folks, of course, Conan's father, folks, that is, in this one as well. In number eight, we've got a play on the words of one of Lee Van Cleef's greatest films, The Good, the Bad, and the Priceless, of course, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly being that one. And in that one, you've got a co-star of course, George Maharis, Tara Buckman, Colby Chester, and Oliver Clark. Episode number nine is Kunoichi. In this one, you have Jack Kelly and Kelly Harmon as guest stars. Episode 10 is The Java Tiger, starring Kabir Beatty and, of course, Cynthia Sippet and Anthony DeLonghi's, folks. Amazing. Anthony DeLonghi's. Wrapping up the last couple, we've got episode number 11, Failure to Communicate, with J.D. Cannon and Doug McClure. And we also have, of course, Mark Goddard guest starring and Mark Alamo, of course. You'll know from a lot of 80s and 90s. And then, of course, in episode number 12, Rogues, we have Kaz Garris and, of course, Cindy Harrell as guest stars. And the final one, episode number 13, of course, A Place to Call Home, with Jock O'Mahony, Susan Wollan, and Hunter Von Leer as guest stars. And, of course, Kane Kasugi as well, folks. That's right, Kane Kasugi in that one too. Now, of course, one of the big things in this one is it didn't get a big enough audience, and the show was cancelled on the 13th episode. And this is because, you know, it's a huge time for this sort of fare. You thought this would have gone for, like Magnum and many others, for many, many episodes and more. But, of course, it was unlikely to go that far because, you know, there's only so much you can do with Ninja. But at the same time, this had more of a parable of being like A-Team or, of course, even Magnum, where it was more about solving some type of mystery or thriller sort of episode to it too, which makes it interesting. Now, when it comes to the ninja in this, obviously there was a lot of mysticism, mythology, and of course, if anything, a very cinematic approach to the ninja in this too. One of the great things about it is we see McAllister bringing different weapons as we go through it. Of course, being the fact that we had an authentic style of what was coming through from, of course, Shokosugi himself. We were getting touches of different parts of what it was to be a warrior, not just a ninja, but a warrior. And I think that's one of the great things about this series. It was really teaching, you know, warrior ways and stuff like that for people to go through and really experience what it was going to be like to be on that part. But really, it got the spirit, and I think, you know, if anything, a really romantic sort of feel of what it was to be a ninja. Everything down to, of course, the different houses and stuff like that that were each ninja would be a part of. A house is basically like a clan, if you like, you know, with a samurai, or, you know, they're all working towards one lord or daimyo. In this case, too, with, of course, you know, the schools of ninja, there was always a master and the many students under it. So it's very similar. The dojo sort of aspect of, in martial arts is similar, and so on and so forth. What's interesting is that I think would have built through the series, and we would have got a lot more about what that was about, and particularly when it comes to when they're talking about the medallions and stuff like that. And this is part of how people know who the master is, of course, as well. Of course, in this one, it's brought through as ninjutsu being obviously very mystic, and if anything, you know, more something like from, you know, a very a dark and if anything, sinister sort of nature. But of course, we're seeing a positive as well with that too. A positive being that it can be turned to be used in a more, you know, protective way, which is what we're seeing Lee Van Cleef's character doing this too. So what's interesting is we get to see dark and light together in that way, a yin and yang, a balance, a harmony, if you like, within that street of it being the ninja, like any aspect of life, or in this case, martial arts, and of course, the warrior arts of Japan. It's amazing too. So I always thought it was interesting too. Now, what's really interesting about this series is that, you know, it's so well thought of. Now, it's not just my immediate friends out here in, you know, the virtual space, but also, you know, friends that I've grown up with. We always talk fondly of, first of all, Shokasugi's films, and particularly the ninja films that we loved from the early to mid-80s. And after that, obviously, went more into very fantastical stuff like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and many other things. But The Master was always one of the more fond ones for us all to remember and enjoy. Lee Van Cleef did an amazing job, and the character, of course, Timothy Van Patten, was great too. I love everything from down from the cheesy fight sequences to actually seeing quite great and amazing choreography by, of course, the one and the only, the master himself, Shokasugi, on screen. I give this series 5 out of 5 on, of course, the Hallenbach scale.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsus on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. Endzone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. Also, the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well, hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast, looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.